Hello, one and all, and welcome to the 240th episode of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, coming to you on December 4th, 2023. Andrew Clark, what would you do as the CEO of OpenAI?
I think if I could, I would get people to understand the value of NFTs.
Okay.
And not just the monetary value. I'm talking about the utilitarian value that NFTs have to society.
The inherent cultural value.
Yes. I mean, they are images on the internet that hold financial value. Value that cannot be argued against by anybody. And with AI, I would be able to convince them of that. And sure, maybe I happen to have an enormous stash of NFTs that would then raise in value after people are being brainwashed. I mean, talked to logically by the AI, therefore making me the richest man on earth. But
I think we're discounting the practical value of NFTs as well. What if you need to blind another human being? NFTs got you covered. NFTs can do that for you.
What if your enemies all have epilepsy?
Yeah.
And you want to trigger an epileptic seizure.
Or what if your enemies are all too stupid to look away from a stage that is clearly causing you physical pain? And then you wake up the next day and you're like, I can't see. And my face is burnt.
I have literal sunburn. Sunburns are radiation burns.
Right. The line in that article that you sent over, Lucas, where like the first guy that's talking about it, you said like, yeah, my doctor said it's like looking at the sun. It's no different than just looking straight at the sun. It's like, why did you do it? Why'd you keep looking? It obviously hurt real bad.
I don't know. It's like a psychological experiment almost. Like, hey, how much pain would you inflict on yourself for what amount of money? And I think in real world psychology, like the answers are always embarrassingly low, especially if someone doesn't have anything else to do. But like, this is the real world. And they weren't, this was all hypothetical money. Like they were there to learn about the possibility of making scam money through NFTs. But no, they blinded themselves in the pride.
But how are they going to look at those apes?
Yeah. Well, it's like the BitConnect guy, right? Like he's fully in jail now. That was all just like I think BitConnect in particular was like one of the most egregious, like pump and dump type things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that one guy went viral because he was so excited about BitConnect. And then it was like, oh yeah, no. Just full blown scam.
Speaking of full-blown scams, Ryan, how long do you think Sam Bankman-Fried is going to survive in prison?
I mean, he's not going to poor people prison, right? Like, he's going to some white shoe bullshit, like the ending of Wolf of Wall Street-esque thing, right?
I mean, he faces a maximum sentence of 115 years.
He's getting Madoff shit, but like, I don't think he's going to like fucking maximum security.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bernie Madoff went to easy prison.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the whole thing.
That's probably like a good comparison.
Like, yeah, he might be in jail for the rest of his life, and honestly, he deserves it. But it's not gonna be, hard time with all the crooks. Like, I don't know, man. I'm just being realistic here. So I guess 100%, but I mean, what's surviving in prison? Because I mean, I guess, he's going to die there potentially.
Yeah.
Is it when he's 90 of rectal cancer? Maybe, but like,
Okay. So you're like 60 years. He's going to make it 60 years in prison. Cool.
I mean, I don't know. Is he suicidal? It doesn't seem super suicidal. seems pretty cool with everything.
Yeah.
Oddly,
winning, actually. This is what he wanted.
Yeah, this is all part of the plan.
You're not owning me. You're not owning me. You're not owning me.
this is actually good for...
Step seven in the process is actually go to prison.
Yeah.
There's five more steps here.
Right. It's like a 90s era rapper who's like, no, you get cred when you go to prison. Like, that's almost a necessity if you really want to go big.
Goddamn. Also, hello, I am Lucas DeRuyter. Between the last podcast and this one, I was in Mexico City for Day of the Dead. There was a, like, 30-foot tall Pancho Villa as a skeleton, and also a centaur, which I think is rad as hell. But also, yeah, if I had to think about what historical figures would want to be a centaur, Pancho Villa is up there.
Any horse motherfucker.
Yeah.
Fucking, I don't know, well, Teddy anyone... Roosevelt, or I don't know who's a big horse person.
Hina from seventh grade.
Yeah, I was gonna say I can name horse girls. We're talking about celebrities or historical figures, not celebrities.
Matthew McConaughey, I think, would be cool being a centaur.
Alexander the Great.
Oh,
he was a horse guy. He had like a horse he was in love with, right?
Yeah, Genghis Khan.
My mind went to anyone who was really good at war. Like, they're down to be a centaur because that's how you do war better. So yeah, Alexander the Great.
Would those leaders want to be a centaur though, or would they want an army of centaurs?
They would want to possess the powers of centaur. Like not like physically. I mean, they would want to control centaurs.
Yeah, I feel like they would much rather have 1,000 centaurs at their disposal than be a centaur themselves.
I feel like...
What do you think is more effective as an instrument of biological warfare? Or not biological warfare, I guess anatomical warfare?
Yeah, just warfare.
A group of cavalrymen that are centaurs. So, like, they're, you know, the horse and the horse rider are perfectly in sync. Kind of like a Japanese mech. Almost. Yes. Or a chariot pulled by multiple centaurs who then are able to shoot arrows, making it basically like a roaming set of turrets.
Wait, what's the chariot for in this scenario?
The chariot is pulling, you know, the dudes where they're doing doing on the chariot. I mean, and then the horses are weaponized.
Right. Isn't that a normal centaur unit, though? Like, I'm just curious where the chariot is coming in here. What does the chariot got to do that?
No, I'm saying which one's, like, more effective? A couple of centaurs that are basically cavalrymen, or a chariot being pulled by centaurs that are then also weaponized?
Yeah, and my question is, what is the chariot adding to the equation? Does the chariot have, like... a machine gun mounted on it? Like, what's the chariot for?
Well, you know, they got guys with javelins on the back or some shit, you know?
Okay. What if you had centaurs with guys on top of the centaur?
They're not a cohesive unit, though.
Like, sure, they're not. They're not in a chariot either. The chariot's physically disconnected. You could have archers riding the centaurs, and then the centaurs could also have a bow, and now you got two bows on one cavalry unit. That seems pretty lit. That seems like it could go well for you.
That's your final answer.
I don't know. The centaurs have arms, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Those six total limbs?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's always terrifying to me, is when a centaur is depicted without human arms. That sounds like a fucking terrifying existence.
Yeah, because they have the four limbs that both the horse and the human have.
Yeah.
Like... doesn't make sense really for them to have six. They should either have four and have no arms, or have six legs and two arms. Four horse legs and two human legs that are useless.
Just dangle
and then
there.
Two human arms.
I think Odin's horse in Norse mythology just has six legs for some reason.
Just because it's faster.
Yeah. Also,
I disagree with the conceit of wouldn't leaders, wouldn't military generals want an army of centaurs rather than being... It depends on how boots on the ground they are. Like, George Washington absolutely would want an army of centaurs. Teddy Roosevelt, that dude would want to be a centaur. That dude, yeah. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of these guys, you're underestimating how much they'd be afraid of being a just fucking freak.
Yeah, you can't. It's you can't. If fuck you can, if you're a
switch
centaur,
in like, and out, Andrew. Like if you can snap your fingers and become a centaur, and then snap your fingers and go back to being a human. Yeah, I think all of us would probably do that because yeah. Why not? Yeah. But like, if you are permanently disfigured and are now going to be half horse for the rest of your existence, I don't know. That's a tough thing. I don't know that I would do that. That's
they built different is what I'm saying.
They might be built different. I'd be curious. Centaur. I'd want to ask Teddy Roosevelt because he was like super racist. So I have to imagine he's like anti freak, whatever.
But now he's centaurs the most powerful are a race. Yes.
We need to respect them.
Haven't run into them in Baldur's Gate 3 yet.
Are they in Dungeons and Dragons?
They have to be, right?
I don't think so. Are they?
I don't think they have to be. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they were. They're pretty picky and choosy about what kinds of mythology make it in.
So I'm seeing. Ooh. So they are labeled monstrosities. They are on D&D Beyond. That wiki.
Monstrosity.
Yes.
That's just means like mob. Means like enemy.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's be honest, they are a fucking monstrosity. I'm tired of sitting here and pretending that if there was a half human, half horse, it wouldn't be just a terrifying monstrosity. That should not be. Like, horses are fucking scary, man.
Yeah.
You ever been next to a horse? Those things are fucking huge. Like, I'd be like, if Shaquille O'Neal was standing near me, I think I'd be mildly intimidated. Like, he's just a gargantuan man, you know? He makes normal things look small, but like a centaur is that times a million plus the extra like mass of a whole horse body. Like,
what if there was a small person and a small horse? Like,
it's like a pony.
Yeah, like a, no, it's like a mule. It's a it's like a regular size person, and then it's a mule.
Well, a mule's like, not a horse, Andrew. I don't know that that's
in they're half of a horse.
So it's much like a centaur. So really, you're only a quarter horse in
Are
this scenario.
Mules centaurs?
What?
They're half horse.
Half horse, half donkey. No, there's no like defining
except,
line.
Except it is. It's a full sized horse, but then with the top half of the donkey attached.
It's a donkey. It's a horse. Yeah, a horse bottom. And then there's like an upright donkey kind of stuck onto the front of the horse.
That's a monstrosity.
Oh, that's so much worse. That's so much worse than
it's definitely
a
much
human
worse.
With a fucking 8-pack jutting up out of this thing.
You don't know they got an 8-pack. They might have diabetes.
Have you ever seen an out-of-shape centaur in your entire life?
I haven't seen one in person, actually.
Okay, a depiction of a centaur that's not just a fucking specimen.
We can do it.
That's us. Jimmy, the out-of-shape centaur. Actually, in that new Dan Harmon show, Crapopolis, isn't one of the characters a centaur? And he's kind of...
I think he's a Cerberus. Or not a Cerberus.
Stier?
No, it starts with a C, and it's like a... it's like a scorpion and a lion and a horse.
Yeah.
And
now I'm seeing him now.
Chimera.
That's Matt Berry's.
That's what it is. I think he's a chimera.
That's Matt Berry's character, right? And he's not like with a giant six pack and everything.
No.
Oh, I do see a centaur. A centaur named Carrots. For the like four fans of the show. It's not on the wiki.
Schlub is the name of Matthew Berry's character. Tyrannus's father, a mantitar, half centaur, horse plus cute. Okay, crapopolis.com. I don't think you need to tell people what a centaur is. Half manticore, lion plus human plus scorpion. lazy and hedonistic as a hobby, personality, and life philosophy.
So Matt Berry just always plays like just like a hedonistic kind of like flowy man.
Yeah. I think that might be all he's good for.
Wow. I feel kind of bad for him. I think it'd be nice if he could get out of his shell and play other roles, but I guess you all have to play to your parts.
We got Game of the Year. We got GOTY. We got the Game Award noms.
GOTY.
I think as a consequence of there being a lot of good video games this year, the nominations are oddly unsurprising.
They're all pretty... It makes sense.
Game of the Year. The six nominees are Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Marvel's Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4, Super Mario Bros. Wonder, and The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. That's probably going to go to Baldur's Gate 3. Like, maybe technically it should go to Tears of the Kingdom, but I think between recency bias and like Baldur's Gate 3 genuinely being like a more surprising hit for this year. Yeah, Baldur's Gate 3.
I'll fucking riot if a sequel that, like, I know you guys liked it, but it's just a reskin of the old game with some new mechanics beats out like one of the most just audacious original titles to ever happen. Like,
you want to take this one, Andrew?
I was gonna go in with a little more nuance, Ryan. I don't think it is riotous if that is the outcome.
That's riotous. You guys are crazy. Here's
the thing. Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom it's not a reskin, but it's just a cut and dry sequel. Like I will give you that. It is the old game with new stuff, like many sequels are. Breath of the Wild is arguably, I'm not going to say that it is the best game of all time because I'm not really interested in calling anything the best anything of all time, but it is in the argument of best game of all time.
Not going to fight
this game is better than that. Tears of the Kingdom is better than Breath of the Wild. It is. Everyone agrees. Literally everyone does. It has a better world, better mechanics, the building, the story is better. There's actual like character. It is a better game than Breath of the Wild. So you've got one of the best games of all time, and then a better version of that, meaning this game, through the transitive property, is one of the greatest games of all time. Now, I get why people would say, I don't want to give that Game of the Year because it is a sequel. It's not as innovative. You know, Breath of the Wild was more innovative because it was its own thing that came out first. And this was building on top of that. Baldur's Gate 3, it's got so much character and originality. I'm not going to argue against it as the Game of the Year. I can't. I'm having a really good time with it. It's unlike any other game I've ever played, which when you have anything that is unlike something you've played before, that's a ton of fucking value. The writing is spectacular. The voice acting is spectacular. It is a lot of fun to play. Like that's it. That's the whole thing. Those are the two arguments.
I will say your argument I've literally made on this podcast before about how, like, if you're going for best video game ever made, not like most influential, not whatever, it has to be a recent video game because video games are so iterative. So if that is the argument that like Tears of the Kingdom is better than Breath of the Wild because it's just Breath of the Wild, but with more stuff, then I feel like my old argument that like the best game ever made cannot be a game from like 15 years ago because games nowadays are just older games, but improved. Like, so I guess, for me, Game of the Year definitely invokes something more than just like, hey, this other game that is widely considered one of, if not the best game of all time, it's that but more.
I mean, but it isn't just that but more, it's that but improved. It's
right,
it is not just a reskin. I mean, and also Baldur's Gate 3 is a sequel. It's got three in the fucking name.
No, like, you did not. Have you seen Baldur's Gate 2 gameplay? Like, this is not a sequel. This is a sequel in the same way that, like, Fallout 3 is a sequel. Like, if you've ever played the earlier renditions of Fallout, like, no. They have done something here that has drastically changed the entire experience.
And that's why I said I'm not going to argue against Baldur's Gate 3. Like, it is game of the year worthy. And I think that those are the only two games that are Baldur's Gate 3 and Tears of the Kingdom. And I think both of them are worthy. And you're saying that you'll fucking kill somebody if Tears of the Kingdom wins.
It shouldn't be
when Tears it is of the Kingdom. Absolutely worthy of Game of the Year.
I'm trying to, like, it shouldn't be. There's no way. In a year like this, there is just no way.
It's Tears like the no Kingdom pass interference call from last night's Packer game. It's like, yeah, I can see why you'd say that maybe there should have been pass interference there. I have an argument as to why maybe it's fine that there wasn't. And if either call happened, you know what? I can see how we got there. I can see why they wouldn't call it. I can see why they would. This is not the end of the world, either outcome.
Their logic is wrong. They're not properly evaluating games. Tears of the Kingdom was a fucking flash in the pan, man. Baldur's Gate.
Flash in the pan.
Yes.
People are talking about some of the technical elements of Tears of the Kingdom. Like, oh, this is going to advance how objects in video games can interact with each other in every game going forward. Like,
this is a game that I put 100 hours into without realizing I had played more than 20. It is a game that you can keep fucking playing, and people are still playing it.
When did you last play it?
When I finished it,
which was
like, I don't know, what was that, like 3 or 4 months ago?
If your argument is you would still be playing it if it were that great, kind of
Breath of the Wild, people played that shit for years.
Yeah, and people have still been playing Tears of the Kingdom.
You guys aren't. I don't know. Ian's not. Like, other...
I even played fucking half the games on this list.
I'm just saying that, like, Breath of the Wild was like a Skyrim level, like, earth-shattering, this is like, holy shit.
And literally no one is playing it anymore because Tears of the Kingdom came out.
Right. Exactly. Wait. What? That's like saying, like, Oblivion isn't important because, yeah, Skyrim came out after that.
That's what I'm saying, is that, like, it can be as good of a game as it was, and people aren't playing it anymore because this game came out. And yeah, so you're
saying
what
other game came out that was other than Tears of the Kingdom? That was more like That made Tears of the Kingdom obsolete, that you don't play Tears of the Kingdom anymore.
Yes, Ryan. Yes, that game huge, and this game is bigger.
What? Tears of the Kingdom is bigger than Breath of the Wild.
Yes.
Lucas, help a brother out. Come on, man. No, it's not. No, it's not.
This is the most anticipated game in the last 5
years. Anticipated does not mean bigger. Like, definitely not.
It lived up to the hype.
Sure. I'm not saying it didn't. I'm just saying that, like, dude, Breath of the Wild was a cultural moment. People who had no idea anything about video games, like, got into gaming because of Breath of the Wild. And it had staying power that lasted years and years. And Tears of the Kingdom, the moment's already passed. And Baldur's Gate
has
already
eclipsed it.
The moment has not
passed, though. There's just also been other stuff. Like,
yeah.
You don't
There was nothing that came out after Breath of the Wild. Like, there were no other games that came out that would have, like,
but you're also acting like people didn't play anything else in between there. Like, people didn't just play Breath of the Wild. Like, it had its cultural moment, and people also did other stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And people played Tears of the Kingdom, and they also did other stuff. That doesn't mean that people don't still play it.
I'm sure some people still play it, but I'm talking about, like, the entirety of culture. Like, who is still engaging with this game, the community around that game. Like, I was still getting Breath of the Wild shit, like, in the middle of the pandemic, like, in 2021, 2022.
I saw some spicy Tears of the Kingdom stuff the other day, yeah.
I'm definitely not. It's not piercing my
bubble
whatsoever.
That's fine. It's not your thing. That's not plugged into the algorithm.
Breath of the Wild wasn't either. Like, and I would get it constantly. Like, it's on another level. It just is. I don't know. Are sales numbers public? Like, I would definitely be curious about that.
I don't think they are yet. Nintendo usually waits. a long time. I mean, like, there were initial sales numbers, I'm sure.
So 31.15 million. Yeah. I mean, it's still early, but it's not even close.
So like, I'm not seeing sales numbers, but Metacritic puts Baldur's Gate 3 at a 97 and Tears of the Kingdom at a 96. So
wow. That's case fucking closed, gang. Andrew.
Oh, like, yeah, Metacritic.
Are you ready?
1 percentage point. Literally not a statistically significant number.
Defeat, Andrew?
So as of a month ago, Tears of the Kingdom sold nearly 20 million copies.
Yeah. And Breath of the Wild's got over 30.
You
could argue it's still early.
Been out for fucking 6 years.
Okay, like how you could see the long tail of that, and yeah, like after the first year or so, it's gonna die off pretty much to nothing.
Yeah, and it's only been out for like 5 months.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Nintendo games. These motherfuckers sell. Like, I just saw something, like, last week that Mario Kart 8 is not in, like, the top 20, like, best-selling games in a given month for the first time. That game came out, like, 8 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fucking nuts.
Mario Kart is quietly the most popular Mario game.
It's a genre. Like, and again, that's why I was bringing up the whole, like, people stop playing Breath of the Wild because Tears of the Kingdom came out. Because, yeah, it's like a niche. Like, people come back to those types of games because, like, they exist in their own world. And that's why they're at full price for fucking years, is because people always come back to those games. And, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I am in a weird bubble for Tears of the Kingdom. And for some reason, it's just not penetrating nearly as much as Breath of the Wild. But having played like 20 minutes of Breath of the Wild and 0 minutes of Tears of the Kingdom, like, it's just, it's not even close, like, in terms of cultural impact.
Listen, at least we can all agree that this GOTY nom list is inherently flawed because Armored Core 6 isn't on it, and therefore the results of this entire award show cannot be trusted.
I am waiting for our top 10 list, where you're gonna make a push for Armored Core and not be like, well, me and Andrew will probably be nice and let you have a top 5 spot if you really push for it. But yeah, and you're gonna be like, if it's not top 2, like, it just, this list is bullshit, and then it won't be on the list, and then you'll be really sad because it's not on the list. And we're gonna be like, well, look, Lucas, it's not going that high. I apologize.
I'm cutting deals left, and I'm fighting for my life out here, bro.
This will be the first time ever that I have a game that's like genuinely in the discussion for top 5.
Yeah. I have like 5 games on here. I usually only have like 3 or 4, and they are all actually very good. Like, I'm not gonna say they all deserve to be number 1, but like, I think I'm actually gonna have a strong list.
Uh-oh. It's going to be a bloodbath.
In video games, at least. Like, we'll see about the other categories.
You're treading on Lucas's territory here. This is going to get bloody
quick. I'm excited. But also, the rest of this Game Awards nom list kind of isn't a great list. For best game direction, it's everything that was in Game of the Year, except for Resident Evil 4. So, like...
And they added Super Mario Bros. Wonder for some reason.
No, it's it. Wonder is in Game of the Year.
Wonder's in Game of the Year.
Oh, it is? Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay.
So, like, what? Fuck
they
you,
just,
Resident
they
Evil?
They just dropped Resident Evil 4. There's probably no restriction on the amount of things that can be nominated, right? Like, it's like the Oscars, where it's kind of fluid. Wow. Like, so they just decided, fuck that one.
Look, this great game, but you can tell the direction was just not there.
Best adaptation being the third category is also like, wow, okay, I getting a little starfuckery there, guys. Like, video games can be their own thing. We have to be buddy-buddy with Hollywood. Also, like, The Last of Us is going to win.
Yeah.
Come on. What are we doing here? Final Fantasy 16 is in the best narrative category. It should not be.
It's a bad game.
Bad game.
Bad narrative.
Bad narrative.
Isn't Final Fantasy 16 the online one? Isn't that the MOBA?
Or... That is Final Fantasy 14. And with the broken state of search on the internet, I was reminded of that very often playing Final Fantasy 16.
That they would auto-correct the I to the V and stuff?
Constantly.
Nice.
And not, they would do like the thing where they, oh, do you mean where to get so-and-so item in Final Fantasy 14? And I'd be like, no, Final Fantasy 16. And like half the links would still be for Final Fantasy 14.
You know, the creators of the Final Fantasy series really didn't take into account SEO.
No.
When they started this trilogy or this series of games decades ago.
Best art direction, I think, should really go to Hi-Fi Rush. Best score and music. I mean, Hi-Fi Rush is a rhythm game, so that one also feels organic there. Is the music good in Baldur's Gate 3? Like, I know Down by the River is a meme.
They got the one song.
That's... Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I know that, like, music will come up when there's fights, but it's usually, again, like, one song, and it's fine.
Audio design should absolutely be Hi-Fi Rush. I think that's a lock. Best performance. Who's Neil Newborn in Baldur's Gate?
Yeah, I know. Right? I was like, who did he play? Who got the nod for Baldur's Gate? It's Asterion.
Oh, God.
Thirsty motherfuckers, but all right. All right.
The actor for Asterion.
I can't
remember. We're really in mine and Andrew's campaign with Ian and Jason. We're not getting any of that performance at all. Like, ooh, boy. That's fun.
I mean, we're not getting really any of the characters' performance. I mean, true. What character have we seen the most? Halzin?
I mean, yeah, whenever we talk to them at camp and stuff, but yeah, we don't get any like in the wild.
Wait, did Asterion like poof when you killed him?
No, his corpse was there.
Yeah, I picked up his corpse and then just dropped it.
He like tossed it in the woods.
Yeah, just unceremoniously dumped it.
Can't really speak to innovation in accessibility. Unfortunately, I didn't play any of the games for Impact Games this year. Best ongoing game, weird category. I think Fortnite, though, because both Peter Griffin and Solid Snake are going to be in it. So clearly that's topping out. Best community support, also weird and kind of difficult to measure. Indie game, David the Diver is controversial in this one because it's not an indie game. It was made by a small team within a larger game company.
Interesting. But I feel like, are they just prepping for the Microsoft apocalypse when like Microsoft owns everyone and they're like, well, it's a small team.
I think Jeff Keighley
Sony Santa Monica
by Microsoft.
Yeah. That's an indie group because, you know, they're tiny. Like they're only like 10 people made it.
Meh. Best mobile game. I'm still not entirely sure what a Honkai Star Rail is, but that's doing really well. Best action game. Armored Core, finally getting a genre pick. Should have been in there for acting, should have been in there for score.
God. Of those games, that's the only one I've really heard of. I know Dead Island 2 came out, but is it gonna win, Lucas?
I'm record 6. I could potentially see Hi-Fi Rush taking this one, especially after FromSoft got Game of the Year last year. So like, do they need any more praise foisted upon them? But I played both of them and I like Armored Core 6 more as an action game. And also like both games are like dealing with anti-capitalism storylines and Armored Core 6 just does it so much better.
I still never really understood like the need for action and action adventure being two separate categories.
Action adventure just seems normie. Action seems indie.
Andrew, are you shooting people in a hallway or in an empty field? Like that is the best distinction, I think.
Marvel Spider-Man 2. Very
which one? Hallway. Which one's which? Which one's the hallway and which one's the empty field?
Action hallway, empty field, action adventure.
Okay.
Action Adventure, that's probably going to be, well, maybe Zelda will get the Quanzai, but otherwise, Jedi Survivor. RPG, that's a lock for Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, I forgot that Starfield. I guess Starfield didn't even get a nod, huh?
No, Starfield. Or Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah, that one doesn't shock me.
Yeah.
Good game, but not definitely not like great game. Like,
right.
That's fine.
Huh. Just realized that Baldur's Gate 3 qualified for best RPG, but not best sim strategy game.
I mean, sim strategy is a different category. That's
I
not,
mean,
it's not RPG.
Technically.
It's turn-based combat.
Yeah, that's not technically strategy just because it's turn-based, I feel like.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, so are JRPGs are turn-based. Like, are that, would you call those like RTS games?
I mean, Baldur's Gate is definitely a tactics game, and I would say that Fire Emblem Engage under Sim Strategy is also a tactics game.
I don't think it's a tactics game. It's you use tactics in the same way that you use tactics in any game.
It's definitely an RPG, right?
Like, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's an RPG.
No matter what, it is an RPG.
A strategy game is a completely separate kind of game. And yeah, like there's some bleeding over in the same way that like you could have an adventure game that's also a shooter.
Right. Like the combat is strategy and turn-based. You could do the entirety of Baldur's Gate 3 without combat. Like it's technically optional. So I don't know.
I just realized that it's weird that there isn't a battle royale in the best multiplayer category. Also, yeah. I wonder, how does that work? Like, is that, well, Baldur's Gate 3 is the game of the year, and there's multiplayer in this game, so it has to get best multiplayer.
Right. Yeah, how many of the game of the year nominees have multiplayer?
Right.
Because in theory, then, shouldn't they all
get
nods for best multiplayer?
I don't know that many of them do. Alan Wake 2 doesn't have multiplayer. Yeah, Spider-Man 2 doesn't have multiplayer.
Resident Evil, Mario Bros. Wonder does, and they did put it on there.
Okay.
So, yeah. If you have multiplayer and you're in the GOTY nom, you do get best multiplayer.
The logic does hold.
Okay.
Makes sense.
I bet you, like, for Last of Us or something, because that had multiplayer, I bet you that they wouldn't give it the nod because it's so, like, slapped on, like, whatever.
It was slapped on, but it also wasn't, like, the, like, you didn't have it in the main game. Like the multiplayer is pretty integral to like Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
Like it's seamless with like the main part of the game that makes it great. Like, I think that's kind of what their logic is.
It's an add-on mode.
Like if Dead Island 2 had been nominated for Game of the Year, it probably would have been in the, you know, best multiplayer game category, just because you can seamlessly have multiple people playing the main part of the game.
Right.
Most anticipated game continues to be the weirdest category for me. That should go to Hades 2, though. Also, I think Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth is out already in parts of the world. So that's weird.
I don't think anyone's excited about Star Wars Outlaws. I've heard no hype about that. I don't really know what that is.
Didn't that get canned, or some trailers for that were pulled?
Other Star Wars game got canned. I don't know.
How is Elder Scrolls 6 and GTA 6 not on the list? Like, I get it. It'd be like every year, but like,
and there hasn't been any like content or announcement stuff about it yet.
For GTA 6, there has.
Well, tomorrow. As of recording this podcast, it's tomorrow.
They didn't make the deadline.
There hasn't been a trailer. Yeah, honestly, that, like if the trailer had come out 4 weeks ago,
that random kid who's like the son of a Rockstar employee was leaking shit on his TikTok.
Oh, they were there. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, no, they went onto that dude's TikTok and they were like, who's that? Who's his dad? Because he posted this TikTok with his dad. And then they were like, oh, that's this Rockstar employee. Like, oh, fuck. He might be getting fired. So, yeah, that should count as hype, in my opinion. That should get you on the most anticipated list.
It's not official hype. It's unsanctioned hype.
Hey, hype is hype.
We got a VTuber and content creator of the year, that being the, I know, controversial, but I'm not totally sure for what unique, for what that's unique, Iron Mouse.
Yeah, that's weird.
And then so many esports categories that are increasingly irrelevant as, like, esports stops being a thing or is rapidly becoming less of a thing.
Wait, is Iron Mouse a woman, though?
Yeah.
Okay. I know the character's a woman. Is the performer a woman?
That's part of the kayfabe, baby.
No, it's not. There's a picture.
I saw the picture, but is that might just be like a guy reacting to her.
Oh yeah, this might be Sea Dog V. Oh no, never mind. Hold on,
yeah, Andrew, that's Sea Dog. Come on,
guys. We don't know what the human behind Iron Mouse looks like. If it is even a human, this could be a corporate entity masquerading as an anime girl.
Iron Mouse and Connor have taken over Twitch with one of them as the platform's most beloved relationships. Hi, I'm Iron Mouse, the anime girl, and I'm Connor.
Okay, but then when you go to the Wikipedia page for Iron Mouse, which, weird that is a thing.
No, that's 2023, man.
They're breaking kayfabe and talking about the performer and calling the performer Iron Mouse. Like, it says Iron Mouse originally planned to pursue a career as a coloratura soprano opera singer, but was diagnosed with CVID, and that has left her largely bedridden. So then she had to stay isolated during the pandemic, then started to pursue a career as a streamer, but was nervous to show her face. So, like, that's breaking the kayfabe that it's a character, right? Like, it's not the character's origin story, it's the performer's origin story.
Does the character have an origin story, though? Is this even really a character, or is it a face? Is it, like, is this, you know, hi, I'm Iron Mouse, the magical fairy girl, or is it just, hi, I'm Iron Mouse, I'm from Puerto Rico, and this is what the mask I'm covering my face with? Like, Corpse Husband isn't a character. He's right. Just a guy with a mask. Is this different than that?
I feel like stereotypically,
yeah. No,
stereotypically, VTubers are like playing a character. But yeah, I mean, if you're just like a grounded VTuber who's like, I'm a normal person like you, I went and got groceries today, then I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, like, does this pink-haired anime girl just say, like, oh, hold on, I gotta go take the dog out?
Right.
Like, I'll be back in 5.
And then the pink-haired anime girl stands up out of the chair and walks away until it, like, fades out. Yeah. No, I don't know, man. What is our world? EA Sports FC 24 got the nom for best sports and racing.
Oh!
Which they deserve just for putting women into Ultimate Team and single-handedly enraging a bunch of fucking loser fucking misogynists and
kick ass
and making like just hordes of soccer fans actually like pay attention to women's soccer. Like, it's really gone a long way. Even like people who were like quote unquote skeptical and being like that part is overstated have come out and been like, I mean, look, man, I know the players now. Like, when I see results for a women's soccer game, I'm like, oh, look at that. Like, Pop managed to throw in a couple of goals. Or Sam Kelly had an assist that game. Oh, that'll upgrade her live card. Like, yeah, I don't know.
I know the visibility politics argument line of thinking can only go so far, but like, this is one of the actual tangible benefits of it. Like, people are aware that this entire sect of this sport exists now. It's so much more public. It should win because of that. Mostly because I don't care about anything else. And also, Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 turbocharged. That
shouldn't do it.
I think that one's got legs. I think that one can really
love
the distance.
Also, it really,
I love how it's sports racing, yeah, and it's all racing except for EA Sports FC.
It is.
I mean, what other good sports Raven. Games came out though?
Like, yeah, I mean, EA has such a fucking
Madden
stranglehold.
No, exactly. Yeah. That's like, that's it. Like,
EA FC is not a great game, by the way. Like, it's a noticeable downgrade. But yeah, just like for the rollout for me of including women has really meant a lot to a lot of people and has been a cool thing. Like, I know it's because I'm ignorant, but like, I don't know, man. You guys watch like men's soccer and women's soccer? They both look like they're playing soccer. Like, yeah. You know, I have zero, like, some of the issues that I've run into with watching like women's basketball or you know, other sport that women play is like, I played the sports, and so I can kind of tell the difference, and it's not as entertaining to me in the same way that like college football is not nearly as entertaining to me as the NFL, or college basketball is not nearly as entertaining to me as the NBA. Cause like that high level is where you can sometimes get the coolest moments when you're like really into it. But like, no, man, fucking soccer, they look like they're kicking that ball real good. Like, it's cool to watch. And like women's, like soccer is much more tactical and interesting for a lot of people to watch. And I think people are discovering their love for that. I know, like, the one I've always brought up is women's volleyball. Like, even volleyball stands talk about how women's, like, not beach volleyball, like actual right. gymnasium volleyball is better than men's volleyball, because men's volleyball's fucking serve, like, dig, set, spike, game over. Because it's just, they're hitting it too fucking hard that you can't even play, really. Whereas women's volleyball is actually like tactical, and you get so many insane, like really cool moments because they're not hitting the ball 140 miles per hour in a way that you can't possibly stop it. So, yeah. You know? Comme ci, comme ça.
That is the 2023 Game Awards nominees. I'm going to be drinking and watching this and quipping about it on Blue Sky and maybe Twitter. I don't know. I got to keep my reach out there now more than ever.
You're getting back on Twitter now that all the brands are leaving?
Kinda.
Now that they're canceling Elon, you're like, time to get back on there.
I mean, I saw it. I have no other way of describing it. I think I saw an ad on there for a gun koozie. Like, you would put a can of beer in, but like a gun.
The ads are out of control on Twitter, man.
No. I've seen some like they are all either like fake junk ads, like for products that don't exist or are like scams.
Or the state of Israel justifying a genocide.
Yeah, dude, there's so much Israel on Twitter right now, which is weird because every brand pulled out because of the anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And then Israel's like doubling down its efforts on Twitter.
We can all still be team fascism for a while at least. Like, we get it. Like, this is going to collapse, but we can come up together for now.
Tons of like right wing movies. I see ads for those all the time.
Yeah. No, I don't know, man. Back when I was in college, like, we talked about how like the birth of most of the old fashioned memes were on like 4chan. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to go on 4chan. And that was the most shocking thing about it to me, was the ads were such dog shit. Yeah. Like, the ads would be like, someone made it in MS Paint and it was like, click this link. And then it was like, a just random sketchy link, and like someone paid, you know, a couple hundred bucks or something to run that ad. And that's what it feels like on Twitter now, where it's like some random shitty company paid like next to nothing to get their ad on Twitter, hoping that it would scam enough people.
I did see one for like a silent basketball, clearly like a fake thing. There was a community note under it saying, like, this is not real. Like, this is, like, you can see that, like, some of these videos have been edited and stuff. But, like, it's got the, like, the dude AI, you know, voice, like, text to voice, like, insulting someone who asked a question about the ball. Like, is it really that quiet? Doesn't seem legit. It's like, that is such a stupid fucking question. But here, we'll show your dumbass why this basketball is so quiet. We have a special formula. And then they don't, like, expand on that at all.
Yeah. I'm amazed that community notes have been allowed to survive on Twitter, because they are gold. Like, they really do call out the bullshit in a way that you wouldn't think Elon would be super thrilled about as a grifter. He's not,
like, there's no quality control on the community notes. Mm-hmm. That's the thing now.
Right, but they, you throw sources on there, like...
Well, there are some without sources, and they're, right, like, very, and then you antagonistic.
Don't, like, you don't listen to those, like, if it's just clearly some rando yelling, but, like,
I'm saying that they are all rando now. Like, there's not official shit anymore.
No, I've seen plenty of that, yeah, like, they're well-sourced, really? Clearly written by, like, a journalist who's just, like, this, and this. Read these articles if you want more information, and, like, if it's something super controversial, I like to click the links, and they're, yeah, legit news articles backing up exactly what they're saying. And it's like, fair.
I saw a community note recently that I don't think I'm ever going to forget, unfortunately. It wasn't like an announcement. It wasn't like a product. It was just someone expressing, man, I love the video game Persona 4. Really bummed about all the homophobia in Persona 4, though. And then the community note was, there is no homophobia in Persona 4.
There is no homophobia in Ba Sing Se. Just literally.
And period. Let me tell you, as a queer man, there is so much homophobia. Two different times that game is like, oh, this character is struggling with their sexuality. Nope, they're not gay. They're not trans. Society just made them think that. They're good.
You need community notes for the community notes. But that's the type of shit that it's so easy to ignore. Someone puts a community note that just says, there is none, period. Like, I don't think anyone needs to be like, oh shit, the community note. Wow, who really came through here?
Who notates the community notes?
Yeah, we need Rorschach up in here.
I'm writing that title down. I'm at, fuck, what else is going on? Yeah, that might be the last time I ever link to Kotaku in one of these documents, because, yeah, no, they laid off a bunch of people, including, like, peers that I have worked with. Yeah, and now I am going to Aftermath, which is a video game website blog founded entirely by creatives, by writers from... the era of Kotaku that I kind of came up with, and am very excited about that. All right, this is going to be one I want insight from resident The Last of Us Part 2 liker Andrew Clark. Put that on a business card. How do you feel about The Last of Us Part 2 getting a remaster?
I mean, it's really funny. Like, it is, like, objectively, that's funny. I mean, it's coming at a really, like, they did not read the room on this one, because that's one of the things that, like, Naughty Dog has been criticized for extensively, of, like, re-releasing games, like, way quicker than they needed to be. I mean, there's the whole Last of Us, you know, Part 1, they renamed it Part 1, where they created a quote-unquote remaster of a game that came out not that long ago. That had already gotten an HD upgrade, which came out like a year and a half after the game first came out. Like, it.
Oh my god, that's right.
And then, you know, there was The Last of Us Part 2, a game that came out like 3 years ago, maybe like less than 3 years ago, and then got an HD upgrade for the PlayStation 5 after the PlayStation 5 launched, that gave it like 4K and ray tracing and 60 FPS and a couple new features and shit like that. That being said, this game coming out as a remaster, like an upgrade, it has new features. It's going to have some sort of like roguelite survival mode. I know they said that it has, you know, how did they phrase it? Like
lost levels,
like content that they didn't include in the main game,
which
it's weird, because that was a full price game that they admitted that they didn't really finish. It was kind of like The Phantom Pain.
That game had
a big section of the game that was supposed to be in there, and they just didn't have time for it. And so, like, I'm wondering if it's that, like, if that content's going to make it back in. And releasing it as a $70 game is stupid. That being said, I, as someone who owns the game for PlayStation 4, I can get it for $10. I think that's fine. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's how most of the people will get it. I don't think there's very many people that could be interested in The Last of Us Part 2 have not already played it. So most of those people that would be buying this remaster would be getting it for $10. And I think that's fine.
Are you like, shelling out a tenner for this bad boy?
I might. I mean, like, yeah. 10 bucks is not a lot. No. I want to know this extra, you know, lost level bullshit is. And, like, I would never pay $70 for it. But, you know, 10 bucks, fucking whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe this roguelite survival mode is a lot of fun, and I can get a couple of hours of enjoyment out of that. But, like, charging 70 bucks for this is fucking ridiculous.
I have two thoughts to this. The first one, I cannot believe this is not branded some kind of director's cut. Like, this seems...
To pull a Kojima?
It feels like
Kojima did that shit too. Like, yeah. Death Stranding Director's Cut came out like a year after the game released, and it just added a racetrack.
That's right. Also, combat missions,
part of the game that nobody liked and shouldn't have been in there.
let's see what Death Stranding 2 does. But also, yeah, no, this is very much this is very much evocative of the more Japanese video game practice of we're going to release a game and then X amount of time later, we're going to release the enhanced edition of that game with a little bit more fun content in there.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be critical of this. Like, yeah. I ripped you apart for buying Persona 5 more than once.
Yeah.
And I think you bought it 3 times. Like
twice. The other one was a spinoff that wasn't very good. And I got it for free.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, like this is pretty, like, obviously cash grabby, and yeah, like, I'm fine paying $10 for it. It should have just been a $10 add-on to the game. That is, you know, even if you bought the game brand new now, like, it's probably like 15 or 20 bucks. Like, you do that. If there's a $10 add-on, like, it's basically a DLC. That's fine. But don't release it as a full-on ass game.
Ask game, I mean, 2023.
What if it's Last of Us Part 2, the Craig Mazin cut, and they just make the story better? what if there's that? Would you pay full price for that?
I mean, what if some of these lost levels are like just alternate sequences where Joel doesn't die or whatever?
Not Joel doesn't die. Like, again, it's never gonna happen, but like, everything changes because, like, they want to make the story better than it is, and
because they said that season 2 and season 3 of the show will feature stuff from the lost levels, and that's why it's important to play them and
Jesus
shit.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Speaking of ass games, Bethesda is sliding into negative Steam reviews for Starfield. Like a toxic ex sliding into social media posts of people alluding to frustrations with their past partner. It is.
I've seen small businesses do this.
Yeah.
Which is always really funny when you see a bad review and then like the actual Google account for that business will come in and say, like, actually, we remember you and you were really rude to the wait staff and you didn't pay. And we actually got you your food on time, but you like refused because you were on your phone or some shit. Like, yeah, it's really petty.
It is of that nature. It is people saying, yeah, no, I think I enjoyed this game overall, but like the loading times were really annoying to me. And then Bethesda saying, I mean, you shouldn't have been annoyed by the loading times.
Yeah, you're probably running it on like a PC that isn't, you know, up to spec.
And even if you are, if you considered how big this is.
don't have a GTX 4080? Sounds like a you problem.
You could afford this game?
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty fucking sad, bro.
I get that, like, an end goal of PR of a communications team is you need to be reminding people at every corner that, like, there are people behind this game. And when you leave this kind of review, you like genuinely, even in a small way, impact like a team of people working on this that could trickle down into how much money they make, whether or not they still have jobs being affected by that. But the way Bethesda is doing it is making people think the team that made this game suck and are annoying and not generating sympathy. So, yeah, this is hilarious and very weird. And I don't know. I hope the people on that team are stuck between a rock and a hard place of realizing how messed up it is that they have to do this. But their bosses being like, well, what else can we do to make people like this game?
Yeah.
I missed the trailer for The Boys. What's going on there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a bunch of trailers dropped in the last few days for shit specifically that we like.
Yeah. I like the Boys, shit that we like.
The Boys had their teaser for, I mean, it's a trailer. I think all of these trailers actually called themselves teasers, but they were like full-on two-minute trailers. Boys Season 4, no release date. They just said 2024. Yeah, looks like The Boys. House of the Dragon Season 2 had their trailer. That looks fun. Excited for that. Lucas, you should watch Season 1 so you can watch Season 2 with us.
Is Season 2 the final season?
No, just not that big of a time commitment. You can do it. And then the Fallout TV show had their trailer. Looks like Fallout.
But like, what do you mean when you say that? Because there's good Fallout and bad Fallout.
It looks like it's set. I mean, it's not set in New Vegas. I think it's set in like LA or some shit.
So like the first one, promising.
Yeah, so like it looks like it's taking a lot of like visual inspiration from like New Vegas and the originals.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, also, you know, feels a little bit like Fallout 4. I can't really explain why. Maybe it's just the production value.
That is one of the best things that game had going for it. Yeah. I'm kind of excited for the Fallout trailer. I think that they get it. They get how very specific and weird and could only be created in an American environment, but is also critical of America that franchise is supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, I like Fallout. I like Westworld. I like Christopher Nolan's brother.
I cannot wait to find out how committed that ghoul cowboy is to the bit.
Yeah, I want to know what that voice sounds like.
They said the ghoul, and I want to know, what if there's just one ghoul? I'll be all sorts of fucked up, man. There's ghouls all over the place. They're an underrepresented community.
They are.
We need to talk about them.
Ghoul rights.
Walton Goggins.
All right, there's a bunch of other stuff. We kind of alluded to a lot of it before. SBF Found Guilty, Josh Dobbs, Elite,
That one, yeah, no, it's not outdated. Before you briefly even recorded the episode.
Bored Ape Convention, Blinded, some other fuckers. Two really good Packer games.
Yeah, good times.
George Santos, last name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was ousted from Congress. That's never happened before. And I think the difference maker was that in addition to scamming like human beings and Democrats, he started ripping off Republicans.
Yeah, and they went, all right, enough of that.
Yeah, some pretty flagrant and like super illegal ways if you're a politician. Like, I think Republican senators, Republican representatives just gave him like their credit card information so they could donate like the max amount to his campaigns. And he took like 10 times that. And now they're stuck with the bag of explaining. Yeah. No, I'm not committing campaign election fraud. What the fuck, George Santos? Yeah. Is there any way to incorporate, like extrapolate that to the political landscape as it is currently? Or is like this too specific and weird a case and he too specific and weird a person to do that?
I think the fact that he lasted this long is indicative of the current landscape, but this is a very singular guy, a very individual case. I mean, dude's wanted for fucking wire fraud in multiple countries.
Oh, yeah.
He lied about being Jewish to get the, like, New York Jewish vote.
Fucking hell. Yeah, all right. Out of Congress. First time that's happened since, like, the Civil War.
Yeah.
Can I talk for a little bit about Scott Pilgrim Takes Off?
Pop off.
So Scott Pilgrim Takes Off starts as a pretty straightforward adaptation of the comic and movie of the same name. It looks great, fantastically animated. Score is solid, even though, like, I have such a deep affinity for the movie. And then you get to the end of the first episode, and Scott Pilgrim fucking dies. And then the rest of it is just exploring those characters without Scott Pilgrim.
That's what it means by takes off.
Yes. Yeah.
He headed on out.
No, he straight up dips. I now understand why it was so important to get the original actors from the movie for this project, because it does feel like an iteration on the film. It's not a sequel or a direct adaptation of the comic. This is a, like, commentary on those things. So having these characters, like, expand out, these actors expand out these characters this way is fun, and I enjoy it, even if I feel like the animation gets a little stiff in later episodes, and also, boy, it kind of lets Scott Pilgrim off the hook for his scumbaggery, and that particular bag of scumbaggery, that, like, toxic, nice guy gameriness is more insufferable and more prevalent than ever, and still needs to be taken down a peg. And I get, like, I can always go back and read the comics if I want a story about how much dudes like that suck, but I don't know. I would have liked a little more acknowledgement about how people, the Scott Pilgrim IP, unintentionally, like, promoted this kind of dude because people misinterpreted the themes of Scott Pilgrim. And we're like, no, this dude rocks, actually. I should date a 17-year-old. Yeah. So I like it. Interesting. And, like, one of those things that it feels like it's made for me specifically. So I enjoyed it. How's Scavenger's Reign going?
It's really good. I mean, I finished it. I watched all 12 episodes. It is, like, I saw so many, like, people talking about it. I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. I'll watch it on the plane ride out to California. And it's an uncomfortable show to start watching on a plane without having any idea what you're going into, which I didn't, because there is so much just, like, gore. Because it's when you grind it down, it's a show about nature, but, like, kind of through the perspective of people that have no idea what sort of ecosystem they're in. And it is brutal. It is rough, but it is gorgeously animated, and, like, the score is awesome, and the characters are, like, so easy. Like, you really just start off in the middle of it, and, like, you, like, get to know the characters as time goes on, and, like, it, like, just, I don't know. I loved it. The show is really, really fucking good. And it's, like, maybe not for everybody. I don't know for certain that, like, Ryan, you would like this show. Lucas, I think you would like it.
Ooh.
As somebody who once said that you wish there was more body horror in Annihilation, I think you would really like this show.
That is fantastic, and I am sorry to tangent super hard. But Rockstar just released the trailer for Grand Theft Auto 6 because it leaked on Twitter. Do we want to live react to this?
Oh, fuck. Maybe.
Dropping it in chat. It's at the very bottom of the article.
Are we going to do this?
Live react.
Yeah.
Trailer leaker account suspended.
Is that the bottom?
Okay, please enjoy the real thing on YouTube. We need
to queue up at 00.
Yeah, and then we're just going to count it down.
All right, let's do this at 3, 2, 1, go. 3, 2, 1, go. Okay. Graphics okay, look two generations later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this Florida? Good.
Yeah, it's Miami.
It's gotta be Florida. Oh, yeah. Ooh, the Glades. This looks sharp.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, if you see the leaked shit from that TikTok I was telling you about, it's yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Huh. I'd have to be keeping it in the same engine because of that modding community, right? Like, there's only so far they can.
It just looks like Miami.
Yeah, this is just regular Florida.
I don't see GTA. This is just, yeah, Florida shit.
Yeah. Oh my God, extra floor. Okay, yeah. Oh, hey, COVID reference back there. All right.
Oh, hell yeah, Buccaneer.
Was that a Joel? Was
that we got like a Bonnie and Clyde vibe?
All right. All right, because playable woman.
Yeah. There you go.
So damn. I think we had pitched a while ago that the next GTA should be an MMO. I'm not seeing anything in there that makes me think that's impossible.
I mean, I think it'll be the same as 5. Like, they'll have a fully, very fully fleshed out story. And then also
multiplayer,
a very big online community.
I think it has to be like a Destiny thing, you know, where like, yeah, you can do this by yourself, but also people are around all the time because now anyone playing GTA 5 is doing it online with people.
I think the main game is, that's what GTA Online will be.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. The main game always, it's not, you don't get to build your own character and everything like that. You're playing as a character.
I think people kind of forget just because GTA 5 has been around for so long as GTA Online, but like GTA or GTA 5 was just the single player game for like over a year before GTA Online launched.
I don't think it was that long.
It was a long time.
No, it was like a month or two, right?
Really? I thought it was like a fucking year. But anyway, like GTA 5 was the single player game, at least when it launched, and it was good.
It was only 2 weeks.
Really, I remember that as a lifetime.
Yeah, it was a lifetime, to be fair, because everyone was playing 5 and everyone was having a fucking blast.
It was a year after GTA Online launched that the heists started coming out.
Oh, longer than that, dude. Was heists were like 3 or 4 years, but everyone had moved on by the time heists started rolling out,
and then it kind of came back. Okay,
yeah.
Anyway, like GTA 6 will have a fully fleshed out single player game. And it will probably be really good.
Yeah. No, this game looks insane. Like, GTA 5 single player is a fantastic video game. Like, GTA Online is really interesting and innovative and everything like that. But, like, it's pretty shallow. It's just for dicking around with your friends. GTA 5 was a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah, that was a game a story mode with commentary. Like, that wasn't just, like, a fun place to explore and shoot cops and blow up cars. That was a legitimate ass video game.
But all of those writers left,
so step in, Lucas. Yeah, I mean, you can work on GTA 7 for the next 15 years.
I got turned down. I applied to that job. I applied to that. I can hey, I can write quips. I can write like NPC barks. I'm with it. I'm topical. No, didn't have me.
Could not work.
Can't do it. Now you won't hear stuff like no, can't even do it on the spot. They were right not to bring me on.
Maybe, honestly.
You weren't cancelable enough. You gotta say some shit.
I can say some shit. Also, as far as breakouts go, I am like half an hour into H Bomber Guy's new 3-hour and 30-minute long video about plagiarism, and I'm enjoying it so far. He is dropping one video a year in which he just roasts some pretty scummy people in the world on the internet, and I'm having fun with this latest bout. Do either of you remember that an IGN writer, IGN video producer, got fired for plagiarizing
and putting stuff on IGN. Stole someone's review of some platformer.
Dead Cells.
Dead Cells, yeah.
So he had been doing that his entire career.
It wasn't just that one instance, obviously. Damn.
No, he got that job because he amassed a following on YouTube by plagiarizing videos from other people, other places. It's kind of flabbergasting. And like, as H. Bomber Guy points out, oh yeah, IGN's reputation is just irreparably harmed because of this. Because no matter what they shift into, like, I know I've worked with people at IGN and like a lot of people doing great work, but as an outlet, they're like, oh yeah, they're the place doing journalism that couldn't even fact check that somebody they brought on was plagiarizing. And that really sucks. That sucks for all involved. Also, fuck that guy. Nah. Ryan, you checking anything out?
Yeah, man. Squid Game The Challenge.
Ooh.
Y'all remember that little cultural moment where a tiny little Korean show just became the biggest thing on planet Earth for a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're finally cashing in with a reality show where they play those games. And it's fucking crazy, man. Yeah.
I mean, is it better or worse than the Mr. Beast version?
It's higher budget than the Mr. Beast version for sure. I think they're doing a lot there. They're not nailing it. Like, the execution is not there, but it's worth watching just because of the spectacle of it all. Like, they are very faithful to the original sets and everything like that. Like, Glass Bridge is kind of breathtaking. So, yeah. I don't know how they pull it off. Like, clearly they're not just letting people fall 30 feet to a mat, but
did they?
It looks like, yeah.
Did they have a different selection process for the Glass Bridge Challenge? Because I feel like if you watched Squid Game, you know the setup for that challenge. And you're like, no, we're all, and it doesn't even happen because you're all fighting nonstop about going last.
They do a few fake outs. Also, last is not good in that game because of the time limit. I think you want to be like 17, back third, maybe.
Yeah.
You want to be towards the back, but not the literal back. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys are going to watch it. I'm down to spoil everything if you want. It's up to you guys.
Spoil it, baby. I don't care.
So basically they always had to do little tricks to get people to actually do it. Shape game, they had everyone form into four lines. And then what they did is they took the first person from every line into the room where you pick the shapes. And they said, agree in the next minute. Otherwise, all four of you will be eliminated. So like the first two rounds, all four of them, like everyone refused to take Umbrella and they got out. So they eliminated like eight people before the game even started. And then the third one. Yeah, the third one, this jock guy who had been kind of a bit of a villain, just bullies the shit out of this Mormon guy into picking Umbrella. And then his whole team is like really pissed off at him and everything. It's a fucking mess. But yeah, they always had to like find ways around it. For the marble game, like they had all these tests in between the games, you know, so they have like filler material because it's not that many games in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
So for the marble game, like one of the tests was like, everyone needs to like juice these oranges within an hour and you'll get a reward. And everyone's like, oh, weird. So then they did it and they succeeded. And so then they're like, your reward is a picnic. And everyone's like, whoa. And they're like, please line up in groups of two to receive your picnic. And they all sat down for the picnic with the people that they're probably most closest with. And then they, at the bottom of the picnic basket, put the marbles. And they're like, aha, got you, motherfuckers. You let your guard down, didn't you? And there were like at least a couple of people that figured it out and were like, I'm not picking someone I know like to pair up with. That didn't go well in the show. And then for Glass Bridge, they had a claw machine and it was like you pick a bear and then that bear has a jersey in it with a number and you get to give it to whoever you want. So if you get number one, like give it to someone you don't like, basically. But then they kind of, I think someone read the Reddit comments for how to make Glass Bridge fair and not just bullying the first few people to go. And they more or less stuck to it where everyone takes one jump. So it's like 50%. Like everyone has a 50-50% chance, essentially. Like there was 17 jumps you have to make, and there was 20 of them total. And he's just like, 18 through 20, they got off scot-free. They're lucky. But everyone else, it's like one is the first one, 50-50. And then two passes them, 50-50. Three passes them. They can make it across the whole way. Everyone has essentially the same chance to make it. And yeah, it's more or less equitable. There's a few people who get off lucky, but everyone else, you know, it's a fair chance. It's a way to make the game fair. And there was one contestant who was like, I'm not jumping him. Fuck that. And then it got a little hairy, but yeah, for the most part, they stuck with that and were able to make it somewhat fair. So I don't know. It's been interesting. They've had to, I'm curious how they do the finale that's coming out tomorrow. Because I don't think they're just going to do a brute force Squid Game where the objective is to like slam into murder, someone as hard as you can.
But also some of the, like the cookie one, for example, that has a solved solution. They reach this is how you win this in the show. Does everyone just lick the cookie?
People were doing it. Huh? Yeah. But I mean, no, it's not solved. It just makes it easier. I think the winning solution was actually not licking the cookie. It was spitting into the tin without the cookie and then putting the cookie on there. And so like while you're carving it with your needle, it's rubbing the cookie on your spit constantly, you know, like naturally. Yeah. So you get the carving and the like spit wearing away at the bottom all at once, like without having to like lick then carve. So
yeah. How do they handle the guys in masks coming out with guns and blowing their brains out?
There were no guns. There were plenty of guys in masks. They had just like little squibs, very similar to Mr. Beast. And just they didn't tell you to act dead. They told them, and this is through TikTok. They don't explain that on the show. Right. But they told them the more dramatic your death is, the more likely that you'll be featured on the show, you know, because there's 450 of them. Like,
yeah,
most people get no screen time at all. So they're like, if you go like and flail and fall over, you're more likely to get on camera. So
I mean, also like in the spirit of the original show, every like, yeah, you know, once we get to the mid part of the season, every 20 minutes, this is cutting back to Netflix CEOs just saying the word 69 a whole bunch. Right.
Yeah, no, exactly.
There's a lot
of white folks just going like, arr, 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 I hope that one wins. Yeah.
How much organ harvesting was there?
And yeah. I said yesterday.
Yeah, you asked about the organ harvesting subplot and very little, but there, like I said, there's like tests that they're performing that are, I feel like, replacing that like filler between the games content. Where it's just like, oh man, we're putting a phone in the room. The phone starts ringing. And then it's this same dude who answers it like both times. The first time he answers it, they're just like, you win a pizza. And then they bring out a pizza and like everyone starts fucking like zombie mode, like stealing his pizza, which is weird. And then it rings again and he was just camping out next to the phone. He picks it up immediately again. And I think the challenge was like, you need to get one person in the room to take the phone from you within like 2 minutes or you will be eliminated. So it's like a social and then that person would then get, you know, it's like a It Follows type situation. But he couldn't convince anyone. He was kind of stupid. The thing about this show, like when you watch Survivor or like other reality shows, it's like people who are pretty up on it and they really have the game figured out and have strategies and stuff. 90 to 95% of these people are fucking stupid. Like, are just
for that one in particular, do you just say, hey, they won't give me another pizza because I won again. Who wants it? And then
that's what he said. He was like, who wants a cookie or something like that? Or a chocolate muffin. It was like, you need to take the phone to get a chocolate muffin. And everyone was like,
I would have just been like, hey, the next challenge is starting. They're giving us like numbers. Mine's 14. Like line up.
You
could have
said anything. He was
that. It seems so easy.
People were sussed out by him anyway, so I think, yeah.
Bad vibe, no. Okay, yeah.
Like, I think there was, like I said, 90 to 95% of people are just fucking morons. There were people like, yeah, I'll take. And then their friends would literally grab their arm and like pull them away, like, get the fuck away from that phone. Are you the dumbest person alive? So, yeah. And then he just casually gets eliminated and is like, all right, well, that was stupid.
What'd you get? What'd you get for camping?
Yeah. No, he did. He did deserve it.
I need to grab a package super quick, but if y'all want to talk about Gen V, I will be back in a moment.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lucas doesn't care about spoilers. I feel like we were waiting, but then he doesn't care.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Gen V. We've both seen it now.
It's a show.
I watched it when I had the flu.
That'll probably taint the viewing experience at least slightly, I imagine.
No, it was just like I got... Like, I didn't have, like, I wanted to watch a bunch of movies, but, like, a couple of the movies that I wanted to see either weren't on streaming yet, or I didn't have the service, or I just couldn't find them. So I'm like, all right, fuck it, I'll watch a show. What's a show I haven't seen? Oh, yeah, Ryan said I'm supposed to watch Gen V, because it ties into the main show.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think my viewing was
tainted. I think I felt exactly the same way you were talking about how you felt about it. It's like, well, this is fine. I don't really care about this all that much, but it does seem important to the plot of the other show I do care about, which I hate. Agree
now that it is somewhat necessary.
And it does get better. Like, I did not hate the show or anything. It just didn't, like, love it all that much. But I hate that there's so many fucking cinematic universes now where the Boys is this show that, like, is, like, kind of in its essence shitting on all of these other superhero like movies and TV shows and their connected universe bullshit, and they're just straight up doing it.
I mean, they're doing a Spanish version, right?
Are they?
I think that was just announced.
Los Hombres,
The Boys Spanish spinoff. I think it's still a spinoff. Spanish language spinoff for The Boys that would be set in Mexico. Introduce a new set of heroes. So,
but like Vought's whole thing is that it, like, the superheroes only exist in America.
Well, yeah, but after the Compound V shit came out, I think that cat's out of the bag a little bit, right?
I guess. But they like very strongly kept the monopoly on it. I mean, so it would be a different show. It would be, maybe they're like starting things up in Mexico, or like they're bootlegging it, or they stole Compound V and shit. Like, I can see how it could be its own thing.
I mean, honestly, like, the fact that no one was skeptical of, like, oh man, God sure did bless America with every superhero, I'd be like, that's just what.
I mean, but like, I'm sure in universe other countries were like, hey, what the fuck? Something is going on here, but like nobody could prove it, and they probably argued about it a lot. A bunch of dumbass Americans would have just been like, no, it's because we're better, it's because we're America, like,
no, like, you could,
we are God's chosen people.
You could look at that from like they could have gone a world building direction with it in the first season, especially, like, that could have been the explanation for why the evangelical crowd was so big. They were correct to instead make that the focus of, like, hey, no, this is season one is just about the Bush years following 9/11. So we're going to go with that angle. But I buy it. I buy, like, people not questioning that. But
I mean, like, they were public about the CEO and founder of the company, Frederick Vought. Like, he was a name that people knew. There's no way that people wouldn't be like, who was he? Oh, a Nazi researcher who was big into genetics? What a coincidence that he founded a company with these genetic anomalies. That's strange. Like, sure must be a random act of God and not at all weird science thing. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, no, it's interesting. There's the Newman cameo in the end to really tie it all up.
They retconned her powers a little bit. Yeah. I mean, like you said, it does make sense, but
yeah,
her superpower before was definitely just blowing people up. Like,
it could, you can definitely argue that that's just the best application of her power. Like,
yeah,
that's the best application of Marie's power too. Like, there's no reason she should have fucking blood whips and shit. Yeah. She should definitely.
It is gross. It is super fucking gross. Like when she like whipped what's Sam? His name? Sam, like around the neck, and you could just see the blood smearing all over him. It was fucking gross.
Yeah. Yeah. No, as soon as they introduce that she can bend other people's blood, it's like when they, she should have like a Shuriken star or something, like something to just like start the bleeding, and then she can just rip all the blood out of them, you know, pretty quickly. Yeah. But no, she uses her own blood most of the time.
That's because her superpower is self-harm. Like,
Yeah, she should have a gun. Think about it. Like, why does she not have a pistol? And then she could shoot someone and then yank all the blood out. Like, yeah.
Wait, so that is a very, then why wouldn't she just
shoot them twice? Like, why would she use superpowers after shooting the person?
That is a very anime-ass restriction on this power. Like, okay, so you can control blood, but only if it's like outside of it. You can't permeate skin. Like, you got
no, but she can. She blew a guy's dick up.
Like, well, that's the eventual like revelation, is that she has more to her powers. But like episode one, she didn't know she could blow a dude's dick up. Like that, she thought my superpower is I'm a bloodbender. Like I cut my hand and then I let blood come out and I can control that blood and like use it as a superpower. Like, then,
but she
then
knows she can control other people's blood because she saved that person's life and made the blood go back in her neck.
Yeah, but it was, again, it was like an open wound. It was, I feel like, yeah. In a way, though, she's definitely like more powerful than Newman. Like the whole blood reading shit is definitely, that's like Homelander-esque levels of.
But Newman can do that perception. Too, because
no, they didn't. They never said that.
Oh, I thought that was her. I mean, because she knew that Marie could do that, and I thought the implication there was Newman's like, I can do this stuff, and therefore I know that you can.
There was no direct implication, or no direct like saying, and people were speculating that like the reason Newman's grafting onto her is because she's just a powered up version of Newman. And that they, like, we've never seen people, like, with the exception of like the most generic powers, have the exact same power set. So
yeah, but Newman like cutting her hand and controlling the blood, I thought that I think I'm interpreting that as the
canon.
Well, I think that's what the show canon was showing, was that like they have the same powers, that Newman can do all that shit. I don't know,
we're gonna find out. I mean, haven't seen Marie pop ahead yet.
She doesn't just have like telepathy.
Who?
Newman? The senator,
That was one of the reveals, is that
it's all blood based.
She makes all the blood rush to their head and pop off.
She's a blood one.
Huh.
We just got to that point in our boys episode, the congressional hearing, where things get messy.
Where she turns around to look back at her
aide. I explained that to Angel because she got spoiled because she watched Gen V before the boys. So I was explaining how like that scene was like when people were like, oh, wait, is it Newman? Like, look at the way she like turns around and then her aide's head explodes right after she turns around. I don't know.
I think we can all agree the boy is dipped a little bit, but I'm never going to get tired of Homelander being in a situation where he can't do anything.
And he's just casually walking around, just like,
I got nothing on this one.
This is weird. Yeah, and the deep like starts grabbing his own head in the bar, like hundreds of miles away.
Oh, just I forgot he wasn't there, and he was like,
yeah, he's hanging out with A-Train in a bar and he's just watching the hearings and he's like, oh shit, am I
we should start winding down, but before that, what y'all think of the last I didn't see the most recent one, last three episodes of Rick and Morty?
I haven't seen a couple of the most recent
ones. Oh, no. Okay.
I haven't seen like last night's episode, the most recent one, but I've seen all the other ones.
Have we talked about any Rick and Morty on the podcast? It's been a long time.
I think we talked about episode one and that was it.
Ryan, what was the last one you saw?
I need to look it up. Is this season 7?
Yeah. Wow. Yes. We are moving.
Hold on. No, I'm confused. I know I've seen the spaghetti one.
Okay. Yeah. I like that one a lot.
Yeah. What's episode 5? Unmort Rickon.
You would know if you saw episode 5.
Yeah, that's the spoiler heavy one.
Yeah, like, I haven't seen that one. So yeah, I'm way behind.
No, I like that was good classic Rick and Morty. That was let's take this sci-fi concept and push it exactly as far as it'll go.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I can eat spaghetti again.
I had spaghetti recently and it was delicious.
What if you like, you know. Yeah, are you asking me what if I give them a single claw-like appendage so the only action they could do is to kill themselves? Yes. Okay, because I can do that, but I need you to communicate.
Oh, man. Yeah. The President episode 2. I saw that. Classic Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, the half Rick, half...
Jerry yeah,
where they are like, this is like the Ravens again, it's the Crows again.
The fact that like Rick felt Jerry's brain and immediately just grabbed a gun to kill himself.
No, because he is just with his fucking psychology, of course he hates himself so much that if he did not have like his ability, he just like, well, no, God, there is nothing stopping me now.
No, I thought it was like, oh my God, this is too unbearable to like feel Jerry's lesser brain. Like, I can't take this even for a second.
No, I thought it was just, yeah, his mind in Jerry and succumbing to everything. I think we're kind of getting there the same way. And then look at both of them having friends. Look at both of them finally having a friend.
Always do. Like, I feel like whenever they drop the Jerry and Rick shit, they're always like,
they're friends. Really good friends. Yeah. They just hate that they are.
Yeah. I was listening to the most recent episode of Behind the Bastards, which is about like an Oregonian sex cult in the early 1900s. And yeah, basically there was one of the cult members had a fiance, and the cult leader was like, hey, you gotta divorce that fiance, and she did it. And then that cult member eventually recruited her mom and her brother to join the cult, but her dad wasn't like into it. But the cult leader started saying, like, talk to your dad every single time you address him, you must say he is the devil and he's going to rotten hell, and you know, he's a monster and you hate him. And so, like, eventually that, like, bullied the dad into also joining the cult. And, like, a few months into it, the dad was real torn up, man. Like, they made the dad burn all of his earthly possessions, including his dog and his cat.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, fucking horrific. And so he's really, really feeling it. And his daughter's ex-fiance that the cult leader forced her to divorce him or whatever, not divorce, but break up with him. Like, one day just dropped by the cult headquarters and was like, hey man, let's go for a little trip. And they just like drove away for a while. And when he came back, he was like, yeah, nah, that place is fucked up, man. We need to put a stop to this. Like, so yeah, you know, daughters, sons-in-laws and fathers, they can have that underlying understanding that can bring it all together. You just got to get past the initial bullshit. Also, the spoiler alert for that entire episode is he was able to start a sex cult because dude was hung. Dude was absolutely packing. Like, there would be newspaper articles from like before it was revealed where they're just like, the unattractive and homely man for some reason just has all the women like obsessed with him. Like, and then when they finally arrested him, they like, he was naked, like hiding under someone's house. And the newspaper made sure to note that when they brought him out, that he was blessed by nature. And like, there's like, that dude was just fucking crazy hung.
Jesus Christ.
So, yeah. 1900s were a wild time.
I can't think of a better note to end episode 240 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast. Then that note, this is almost certainly going to be titled Who Notates the Community Notes. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, highlight clips, ActBlue link in the description. Please support us via Patreon, join the likes of Tiffany Cole and Sucky Badger. Send us your questions, business opportunities, voluntaryviewing@gmail.com. Follow me, Lucas DeRuyter, on Twitter, I guess. You should follow me on Blue Sky. You should be on Blue Sky. I can get you on Blue Sky. And also the pod is on Twitter at @V2_podcast. Yeah, this is probably going to be the last regular podcast. We got the 2023 top 10s coming up, baby. Get ready for those. Don't even watch the Game Awards. Watch us instead at an indefined time and date. All right. Thank you for listening. Bye.